And we will begin on Daf Ches Amud Aleph at the Mishnah, the new Perek. Whereas the first Perek of our Masechta discussed the Hilchas Me'ila by a Karvin that was disqualified, our Perek begins to speak about the Halachas Me'ila, when and when not is a Karvin subject to Hilchas Me'ila with a Karvin that's a kosher Karvin. And our Mishnah begins with speaking about the carbon chatas ha'oif. We know that the Torah HaKadosh tells us to bring a chatas ha'oif under a number of circumstances. Someone who is chayav a carbon oil of the yoyrid and can't afford an animal brings a chatas ha'oif. A zava, a mitzayra, a yoledes, all of them bring a chatas ha'oif. The way the avoid of a chatas ha'oif is done is that first malika is done to separate the malika of one simen is done. The head is not totally severed from the rest of the body of the bird. And then the kohen holds on to the bird and sprinkles the dam of that bird onto the wall of the mizbeach. And then the rest of the blood that's left in the body of the bird, the body of the bird is squeezed against the wall of the mizbeach, and the blood is drained out, which is known as mitzvah. Rishonim explain the reason our Mishnah, when it begins our Perek to discuss the halachas of kosher kavanos, when and when not are they subject to me'ilah, begins by speaking about oifis versus any other type of carbon. Explain the mefarshim is because our Gemara is because oif is a carbon that even the or, oilus ha'if, is a carbon that even the or of that carbon remains subject to mila. Whereas we're going to learn later in our perek that even though the oila of a behema remains subject to mila even after the zrik sadam, but that does not apply to its or, the or of a oila, since they are given to the kahanim, is not subject to mila after the zrika. But that isn't the din by the or of an oila. The or of the oila sa'if is not given to kahanim. And furthermore, go on to Rishayim to explain that when an oila sa'if is brought, a chata sa'if is typically brought along with it. And many of the examples that we gave and will give, where a chata sa'if is brought, an oila sa'if is brought, they're brought as a pair. And the halacha is that a chata sa'if, when one is bringing a carbon chatas ha'if and oilus ha'if, first must the chatas ha'if be offered on the mizbeach. That's why our Mishnah, since it wants to speak about oilus ha'if, given that it is the example of a carbon that has the most me'ila, and a chatas ha'if comes together with it, and not only does it come together with it, but it's brought first, that's why our Mishnah, when it begins to discuss these kabbonis, begins with the din of a chatas ha'if. And again, says the Mishnah, chatas ha'if, Chatas Oif is subject to Mila, Misha Hugdisha, for when it was became Kaddish. And as Rashi says, Hugdisha Bepeh, when one verbally designated the Oif as a carbon. And I actually saw a correspondence between the Lubavitcher Rebbe and his father focusing on this word of Rashi, Misha Hugdisha Bepeh. And they explain as follows. That even though we know the halacha is, and we've discussed the halacha, this halacha, that as soon as somebody makes a mental decision that he's going to bring a carbon, the halacha is going to give tzedakah, he's obligated to fulfill that obligation. That is as far as the chiyuv neder. The chiyuv applies as soon as he makes, as soon as he accepts it upon himself. But our Mishnah is teaching us that as far as Hilchas Me'ilah are concerned, the carbon is not considered Kadosh, that it should be subject to Hilchas Me'ilah until Mishahog D'Shebepeh. It was verbally designated. So Rashi is actually telling us a Chiddush. On one hand, we need not wait for Malika for the animal to be Kaddosh. It already becomes to be subject to Me'ilah. As soon as one is designated as a carbon, it becomes Kaddosh. But it has to be hugged shirapeh. It has to be verbally designated as a carbon. Just deciding that it should be a carbon would not be enough. Nimlaka, once Malika takes place, so it comes, as the Rishonim explained, to a higher level of Kedusha. And since it comes to a higher level of Kedusha, hukshirali pasel, it becomes pasel b'tful yoyim mechusuk apurim. If a tful yoyim or mechusuk apurim will touch this carbon, it will become possible. A tful yoyim is an individual who was tamei, who had to go to the mikveh, went to the mikveh, but did not yet have harav shemesh. That the halach is that such an individual has a low level come on him, that is a tful yoyim. A mechusuk purim is a person like a yeledes or a zav who, besides having to have to wait to become tahor, also must go to the mikveh, also must have Harav Shemesh, but still must also bring Kabonis. And until they bring the Kabonis, they are not completely tar, and they are considered Mechusar Kippurim. And our Mishnah teaches us that a Mechusar, a Tful Yom or Mechusar Kippurim, that touch this carbon, they make the carbon Pasul. Pasul, as we're going to see in the Gemara, means that the carbon itself will be Tamei, but it does not have the capacity to pass on Tuma further. Nimlaka Hoksha Lipasel, but Tful Yoim, over Mechusu Kippurim, over Lina. The Aloch of Lina, Taisha says, the Rishonim say, two pshatim, what Lina means here. One pshat that they'd say what Lina means here is that the Dam, the Aloch is, that the dam, we spoke in our introductory remarks, that there has to be hazaz hadam on the carbon, and the Mishnah is teaching us that the dam has to have hazaz hadam before shkia. If one waited for after shkia to do the hazaz dam, the halacha is that carbon is possible. But then Taisha says another pshat. Lina refers to the basar, that the halacha is that the chatas oif, the meat of the chatas oif, is eaten by the kahanim, but the halacha is that the meat of that chatas oif is nechal liyoyim v'layla for day and the following night. And lina means that if the meat is left after that time, it becomes disqualified. But Taisus himself and the Rishonim say that there's a difficulty with that pshat. Because if we say pshat is lina, is in the dam, so we can understand that as soon as the malika takes place, and now we must do the hazar, teaches us the Mishnah that the hazar has to be done before the shkia, because if the hazar will not be done before the shkia, it will be too late. But if we're going to say that the definition is regarding the basar, and that the Mishnah is speaking about by when must the basar be eaten, so we know that the basar is not allowed to be eaten before the hazar sadam. So the next words of the Mishnah we're going to read are Huz Adama. But the question is, shouldn't the Mishnah have first said Huz Adama and then spoken about the Lina, if it's talking about the Basra? So answer the Mefarshim, a Gaval the Gibshat. We would think that if the Malika was done in the last moment of the day, and therefore since if the Malika was done in the last moment of the day, there wasn't any, and the Hazar was done in the last moment of the day, there was no time to eat from that Basra during the day. And therefore we would think that if, that given that the halacha normally is that the basar is nechal l'yoyim v'layla, but here, since there was no opportunity to eat the basar b'yoyim, there was no opportunity to eat the basar during the day, the halacha should be that that basar could be eaten l'yoyim v'layla, teaches us the Mishnah, a very important halacha, that no, as long as the Malika was done today, even though it was done in the last moment in the day, and therefore there was no opportunity to eat that basar today, still the halacha is that the yoyim counts today, and we cannot eat the basar past tomorrow morning. Because we count the day not from after the Hazar Stam, but rather we count the day from the time of the Malika. Who's a Dhamma? Once there was Hazar Sadam, Chayavan Alam Shem Pigal Nois V'Tameh, the halacha is that a carbon, that if one during, had the Machshavas Pigal of Chutzlas Manoi, the carbon becomes Pigal, and if one eats from that carbon, he's Chayiv Karis. Teaches us the Mishnah that the Chayiv for Pigal comes only after the Zrika. For as we have learned many times, a carbon cannot be considered Pigal unless the carbon had all of the avoidance of all of the procedures done to it, and then the carbon can be considered Pigal. But if the carbon did not have all of the procedures done to it, then that carbon cannot be considered Pigal. And that's why our Mishnah says only after the Hazar is a Pigal. But furthermore, we must repeat, as we said earlier, whereas by a carbon behema there are four avoidas, Shechita, Kabbalah, Halacha, Zrika. When we speak about a carbon oif, there are really only two avoidas, and that's the Malika and the Hazar. And we'll speak about this concept more in a moment. Noiser, we know that if a carbon is left over past the proper time, the halacha is that if somebody eats from that carbon, he's chayiv karis. And as we're going to learn, the halacha of noiser travels together with the halacha of pigal. And just like pigal, we just finished learning, is only possible after the zrika sadam, after the hazar sadam, so too is the halacha regarding the noiser. And so too v'tamei, the halacha is that a carbon, that if somebody's tamei eats from a carbon, he's chayiv karis. Again, that din only applies if the carbon already has Zrik Sadam. Before Zrik Sadam, that din would not apply. However, v'ein by Me'ila, as we've learned earlier, there is no Me'ila after the Zrik Sadam of Kodesh Kodshim. Obviously, that's speaking about the Basar, because the Basar may be eaten by the Kahanim. And the Mishnah is saying that since that Basar now may be eaten by the Kahanim, it's no longer at this point subject to Hilchis Mi'ila. In our previous parak, we had a very extensive discussion. What point in the processing of a carbon is the carbon no longer subject to Mi'ila? There were three opinions. There's one opinion that had, that said Het the Shechita, as soon as the Shechita has taken place. There's another opinion that held Het the Zrika, as soon as the Kabbalah takes place. And the third Shita was Het Achila Shnina, after the Zrika. And the Rishonim discuss, there we were speaking about a carbon behema. The question that comes up is, what would be the halacha by an oif that we are now discussing in our Mishnah? Will we have a similar machlokes or not? So certainly, explained the Rishonim, the situation cannot be identical. Because the second opinion that we just quoted, the opinion of Het Zrika, which means Kabbalah, that after the Kabbalah Sadam, there is no Chiv, it's not subject to Mila, cannot be said by an Oif. Because as we've been saying, there is no Kabbalah by an Oif. So that can't be a point where there's no longer going to be Mila. So some Rishonim say that the man that holds Het Shechita will hold here too, that immediately after the Malika, the halacha is that it's not subject to Mila. The man, the Omer, that said Het Zrika, which means Kabbalah, also will agree that as soon as the Malika took place, so now the carbon is ready for Hazar. And the basis of that opinion, as we discussed in the previous parak, was Kala Omer Lizrik Zorok Dami. Here too will say Kala Omer Lahazois Kahazos Dami. They will hold that after the Malika, those two opinions will hold that after the Malika, the carbon is no longer subject to Mila. And the Shita that held in the previous parak, that only after the Zrika is the carbon no longer subject to Mila, here too will hold that only after the Hazar is the carbon Oif, not subject to Mila. But there are many Rishonim that say that although we had a Machlokes, as I just mentioned it in the previous parak, when we speak about a behema, when the animal is no longer subject to Mila, That machlokes is limited to speaking about behemoth. But when we speak about oifis, everybody will agree that it's only after the hazar that the carbon is no longer subject to mila. For they say, we can't compare the din of malika to the din of shchita. Because shchita, they explain, applies to all kabbanis. And since shchita applies to all kabbanis, that's why shchita applies to all animals, not just to kabbanis. That's why the shchita could be considered a significant act, that it should take the animal out of chiyuv me'ila. However, malika, which as we know and we've said, is unique only to kabbanis oifis. Otherwise, if one would kill an bird through malika, the bird would become an avela. A malika cannot be considered a significant enough act that it should bring to that the carbon should not be subject to mila. That's one way I saw the Rishonim explain. Another explanation I saw the Rishonim say is that why is shchita, according to the Mandama Heta Shchita Shaninu, considered a significant act that it takes the carbon out of being mi'ila? Because the shchita brings the carbon to Kabbalah. But as we've been saying, by oif there is no Kabbalah, so the shchita, the malika, doesn't have that characteristic, and therefore doesn't take the carbon out of mi'ila. And similarly, the Mandam in the previous parakus said that Kabbalah takes the carbon out of mi'ila. He said specifically Kabbalah, because Kabbalah is obviously an avoida. But by an oif, where there is no Kabbalah at all, as we've been saying, certainly he too will agree that we have to have Zerika. Why? Because as we said, what is the basis of the Manda Omer that said that Kabbalah is enough? Because he said the concept of Kala Oymed Lizroi Kizaruk Dami. That was the essential part of his opinion. But here, where there is no Kabbalah, and therefore we can't apply the concept of Kala Oymed Lizroi Kizaruk Dami to such a Kabbalah, he too will agree that the only time the carbon is no longer subject to Me'ila is only when it had an actual, only when it had an actual Zerika. So as we learned in our Mishnah, that as soon as the Malika of the Oif takes place, the carbon is Mukhshir, becomes qualified to be possible for Yoyin or Mechusa Kaporim. So, a few words of introduction. One word of introduction we need to discuss is that the Mefarshim ask that no food becomes susceptible to Tumah unless it's Mukhshil Kabbalah's Tumah. Mukhshil Kabbalah's Tumah means that it becomes wet with one of the beverages, one of the liquids that can make something Tumah, and has to be L'Ritzoyin Balim, to the satisfaction of the owner. And the question here is, how could there be Hechshir by this Chatas Oif? Who is considered the owner of the Chatas Oif? It belongs to the Hashem. It's Kodesh HaKadoshim. So one pshat that I saw is that the din of Ritzoyin Balim doesn't apply to Kodesh HaKadoshim. Only when something has an owner is there a din of Hechshel Ritzoyin Balim. Given that Kodesh HaKadoshim, as we just explained, really doesn't have an owner, there is no din of Hechshel Ritzoyin Balim. That's one pshat that I saw. But another pshat that I saw is that here too it will require Hechshel Ritzoyin Balim. And who are the Balim? The real, the owners. Why they consider the owners? It's Kodesh HaKadoshim. So I saw that the Mefarshim explained, either because the owners have the right to be shoyl, to have the Hekdesh annulled, and therefore even if Malika already took place, it's still considered a time where they could have their Hekdesh annulled, and that's why they remain owners. Or another pshat is, since they are the individuals that will have a kapara through the bringing of this carbon, they are considered the owners, that it should be considered mukhshir l'ritzoyin balim based on their satisfaction. So the halacha we know is as follows. Tumah works in degrees. A mace is a viavois ha-tumah. Something that touches a mace is an avatumah. Something that touches an avatumah becomes a rishon tumah. Something that touches a rishon l'tumah becomes a sheni l'tumah. And when we speak about chulin, sheni l'tumah is the furthest degree, is the last degree of tumah. When we speak about truma, it could go on to the degree of a shlishi l'tumah. And when we speak about kachim, it could go on to the degree of revi l'tumah. Furthermore, there are two words that are used when speaking about tumah that have a similar meaning but are very different. The word tameh means something became tameh, and it became tameh to the degree that it has the capacity to pass tumah on further. Whereas when the word tossel is used, it means that it itself is tameh, but it does not have the capacity to transmit tumah further. Begins our Gemara. Ketani, we learned in the Mishnah, Hukshru, that once Malika was done on the Chatas Oif, it becomes possible by Tful Yoim, or Mechusu Kippurim, or Belina. The Mishnah points out the Gemara, use the word Lipasalin, that only becomes Tamei, Avla Tmuyaloi. The Mishnah used the word Pasal, which, as we just said, means that it itself becomes Tamei, but it does not have the ability to transmit Tumah further. And the Rishonim debate. When Al Gemara is saying that this given, it's a low-level Tumah, and therefore it only has the capacity, Lipasal, but not to pass Tumah on further, what is the Gemara speaking about? It's certainly, as we will see, speaking about a Tful Yoim. The question is that the Machlokes that we're about to learn, what is the halacha about a Tful Yoim? What capacity of transmission of Tumah does a Tful Yoim have? Is the halacha of a Mechusu Kippurim the same as a Tful Yoim or not? There are Rishonim that say that the halacha of a Mechusu Kippurim is the same as the halacha of a Tful Yoim. For both of them represent a low-level Tumah. The Tful Yoim already went to the mikveh. The Mechusu Kippurim even went to the mikveh and he had Harif Shemesh. And therefore they both represent the low-level Tumah, and therefore the ability to transmit Tumah weakens. However, there are Rishonim that say that although we're about to learn the halacha of a Tful Yoim, everybody will agree that the level of Tumah of a Mechusu Kippurim is a much higher level of Tumah. Because since a Mechusu Kippurim still requires an act, a Tful Yoim doesn't have to do anything. All he has to do is wait for Harif Shemesh. Whereas a Mechusu Kippurim has to bring a carbon. Certainly until he brings the carbon, he's considered a high-level Tumah, and therefore he certainly transmits Tumah further. So says the Gemara, our Mishnah that says that the Tumah is only a low-level Tumah, Psul, and not Tumah, Mani, whose opinion does it represent? Says the Gemara Rabbanan, he represents the opinion of the Rabbanan. The Tanya, as we learned in a Braisa, Abishol taught us, Tful Yoim, somebody's a Tful Yoim, Tchil al-Kaidish. As far as Kodesh is concerned, he's considered like a Rishon L'Tumah. And therefore, if he will touch Kodesh, the food that touches that food, if he, a Tful Yoim touches the food of Kodesh, the food becomes a Sheni, which could go on to a Shlishi, and go on to a Revi. That is the seriousness, according to Abishol, of a person who's Tumei, who's a Tful Yoim, as far as Kodesh is concerned. Regarding Truma, even Abishol agrees that he's not considered like a Rishon L'Tumah. As far as Truma is concerned, Abishol agrees that he's considered like a Sheni L'Tumah. And therefore, if he touches Truma, that Truma will become a Shlishi, which the halacha, as we said, is that a Shlishi L'Tumah by Truma becomes possible, but doesn't pass, transmit Tumah further. Rameyer, Omer, Metamas, HaKadosh, HaPaisos, HaTumah. Rameyer's opinion is that a Tful Yoim is considered as far as Kodesh and as far as Tumah, a Sheni L'Tumah, and therefore if he's considered a Sheni L'Tumah, if he touches Tumah, that Tumah becomes a Shlishi, and Allah, as we said, is a Shlishi, doesn't go further by Tumah. If he touches Kodesh, then that Kodesh becomes a Shlishi, and as we said, a Shlishi L'Kodesh could go on to a Revi L'Kodesh. The Chamim, however, is the opinion of Chamim, Shem Shu Paisel Mashke Truma V'Oichle Truma, just like a Tful Yoim that touches Truma, food of Truma, beverage of Truma, makes them only Paisel, Kachu Paisel Mashke Kodesh V'Oichle Kodesh, he doesn't have the ability to make something Tameh to the degree that it should be able to transmit Tumah further, given that he's only a Tful Yoim. So our Mishnah that said that after the Malika of the Chatas Ha'if, If a tefillah touches it, it only becomes posel. It doesn't become tameh. Is obviously reflecting the opinion of the Chachamim that even as far as Kodesh is concerned, and certainly so will be the halacha regarding Truma, because Truma is more lenient than Kodesh, it doesn't go further, it doesn't have the ability to be matam, it only has the ability to pasel. Says the Gemara, no. Our Mishnah could even be reflecting, says Rava, the opinion of Abishol and Rameya. Labishol, mal os v'kotshim. It's only by kotshim, shabona rabona, it's only midar abona. The midar raisa, Abishol will agree with the din of our Mishnah. When Abishol said his rule, he was only saying it that that is the rule midar abona. Rabashol, mal os v'kotshim, shavin rabona tfulyon karishin. As far as kotshim is concerned, Chazal made a tfulyon midar abona have the din of a rishon l'tuma. And Rameya was midar abona that a tful yoim is considered like a sheni. But that's all midrabbanan. And our Mishnah, they will say, is reflecting the din d'oraisa. Ask the Gemara. So just like Abishol and Rameya say, the midrabbanan chazal were machmer. Why don't the rabbanan agree that there should be a chumra? Rabbanan saw no reason to make exeid rabbanan in such a situation. For they say, Kivin the Tovel, since this person went to the mikvah, Kolosh Tuma, his Tuma gets weakened, and therefore when he touches Kodesh, Pasul Mashvei, it becomes Tuma to the degree that it itself is Tuma. However, Tuma like Mashvei doesn't make it so Tuma that it should have the ability of transmitting Tuma further. We learned in our Mishnah, who's a Dama? Once the Dam is put on the Mizbeach, the Chai for Pigal Noisav, and Tomei, and no longer subject to Mila. So ask the Gemara, a similar diik that we had at the end of the previous parak. It seems that our Mishnah is telling us, Mi'ila hu deleka, that there is no Mi'ila after the Hazar Stam. Abel Isur Ika, it seems that there will be an Isser to eat from this carbon. Ask the Gemara, Mamai, Hamam de Ka'anamu, once the Zrika Stam happens, the Basser becomes the Basser of the Kahanim. And if it's the Basar of the Kahanim, so he certainly could eat it. There's no Isser involved. And as the Mefarshim point out, even though many times we've had it in the Gemara discussion, if this that the Kahanim get Kabonis is Meshuchan Gavoya, is it they're only getting it from Hashem, or is it their own, that doesn't change this halacha. Because even if Meshuchan Gavoya Kazachu, still the halacha is that it becomes full-fledged their carbon. And if it becomes full-fledged their carbon, why does the Mishnah seem to say that there's an Issa? Amar Rav Chanina, answer Rav Chanina l'yoytze. The case here is that the meat of this carbon was taken out of the Azara, and our Mishnah, and therefore that meat may not be eaten. And our Mishnah reflects the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, that we learned his opinion on that Vav. Dama Mizrika Me'elis L'yotzei, that Rabbi Kiva said that if meat of a carbon was taken out of the Azara, and then there was Zrika done in this carbon, even though the halach is that that meat may not be eaten, because it was taken out of the Azara, the halach is that it still, the Zrika accomplishes that it should not be subject to Mi'ilah. And that is exactly what our Mishnah is teaching us. That this meat that was taken out of the Azara, the Zrika of this carbon will accomplish that it will not be subject to Mi'ilah, the Labas Achilihi, but it may not be eaten. It must be burnt. And as we in fact learned at the end of yesterday's shir, a Machloikus Rishonim, if it requires Ibet Sura, if it can be burnt immediately, or it has to wait overnight in order to be burnt. But the Rishonim ask a question. When we spoke in the previous shiur about a carbon, that we shechted the carbon, and we took a piece of meat of that carbon outside the Azara, we understood how that could easily happen. We have the blood in a cup. That's the blood that's going to be used for the Zrikas Adam. And we have the meat separate, and a piece of the meat was taken outside of the Azara. The Kachun Kalam, we said it was taken outside of the Harabayas. But when we speak about a carbon oif, which we're discussing here, asked the Mefarshim, how is it possible to take out any piece of meat from the Azara, and it should still not be disqualified? Because when you take out the meat, you're taking along with that meat the dam. Because it's not like the dam of a behemoth, that the halacha is that the dam of the behemoth is put into a cup, and now we have the meat and the dam separate. The dam of the of an oif is never taken out, separated. As we said when we began this shiur today, we take that whole bird and we sprinkle it against the mizbeach. So how is it possible to take out a piece of basar? And one cannot argue, point out to Mefarshim, that it's talking about a case where he just took out a leg from the azara, because the halacha is that even the liquid that's in the leg has to be combined with the rest of the dam to be sprinkled on the mizbeach. So one shot that the Mefarshim suggests is that when is the halacha that the liquid that's in the leg has to be combined with the rest of the dam in the oif for hazar sadam? That's only when it's a whole bird. But if that leg were severed from the bird, then that liquid is no din that it has to be brought for hazar sadam, and that's what our Mishnah is saying, that's what the Mishnah means here. That's what the Gemara means here, that the leg was severed from the rest of the bird, and that meat, obviously, even though there will be a kosher hazar sadam, that meat, since it's yotze, may not be eaten. Another pshat that I saw is that what happened here was that they drained all the blood up to the neck of the animal, and the rest of the bird, there is no blood. And since there is no blood in the rest of the bird, so the rest of the meat of the bird could be taken out. There's no problem that there's blood there that has to be sprinkled. All the blood has been gathered at the neck of the animal. A third pshat that I saw is that although l'chatchila, the halacha is that all of the blood of the bird should be used for the hazar, still, if you didn't use all of the blood, that doesn't disqualify the eved that hazar sadam. And therefore, if you took a basar that had on it dam, and therefore you're not only taking basar out of the azara, you're also taking out dam, that doesn't disqualify the eventual zrikas adam, hazar sadam, that was done with the rest of the blood that remained inside the azara. The Mefarshim ask that this teretz that the Gemara is giving is the same parrot that we learned in explaining the previous Mishnah, the last Mishnah and the previous parrot, where the Mishnah again said that by Kachem Kalim, after the Zrikas Adam, the Amrim are not subject to Mila, but not the Basar. And the Gemara asked the exact same question. The Basar is not subject to Mila, but it seems to me that it's subject to an Isser. What kind of Isser is there on the Basar? The Basar is Mutter, and the Gemara answered that. The Gemara just answered now that it's speaking about that the basar was taken out of the azara, and the Gemara said again that it's going according to Bekiva, that even though the halachi is that the basar is not allowed to be eaten, it won't be subject to Mila. So why do we need to have the same teret said twice? Say to Mefarshim. There, at the end of yesterday's shir, we were explaining the halacha by Kachem Kalim. And by Kachem Kalim, we would assume, perhaps, that is the halacha, that as soon as the zrika is done, it's no longer subject to Mila. But over here, we were speaking about Kachi Kachim. And we know by Kachi Kachim, who eats the meat? The Kahanim. And we know that the concept is Kahanim Oichlim Ubailim Miskaprim. The Kahanim eat the meat, and the owners have a kapara. And therefore, we would think, here where the meat was taken outside of the Azara, and the Kohanim will not have the opportunity to eat from that meat. Therefore, the carbon should perhaps become disqualified, because we can't have Kohanim Oichlim or Bailim Miskaprim. That's why we need our Mishnah to tell us that the carbon is still considered a valid carbon. It's not subject to Mila, but the meat may not be eaten. Begins the Gemara. Amar Rav Huna Marav, Mitzri Chatas Oif. As we said, that when it comes to Chatas Oif, after this Hazar Sadam, there's Mitzri Adam, which means that the body of the bird is squeezed against the wall of the Mizbeach, the Hazaras Adam is done on the lower half of the Mizbeach, by Chatas Oif, Lamatim Chutas Sikra. And then the body of the bird is squeezed against the Mizbeach, and the blood runs down. Says Rafura Marav, Mitch Chatas Oif Ene Ma'akif. It's not Ma'akif. The Tani Rav, who's a Dhamma? Rav said, our Mishnah only speaks about the Hazaras Adam. Our Mishnah doesn't speak about the Mitzri Adam, because clearly the Mitzri Adam is not absolutely essential. Rav Adbar Hava Omarav, Mitzri Chatas Oif Ma'akif. Even by Chatas Oif, the Mitzri is absolutely essential. But Tani Rav, and in fact he learns that our Mishnah says Mitzri Adama, that the carbon only becomes Chayiv and Pigol, Nois V'Tomei, after the Mitzri, because the Mitzri is considered absolutely essential. There's a very interesting vort from Reb Chaim Briska. Reb Chaim Briska says that even according to this opinion, and he says this is a pshat in the Rambam, that even this opinion of Reb Adbar Hava Merav, that Mitzri Adam is absolutely essential, this opinion will still agree that the carbon is no longer subject to Mi'ila after Hazaras Adam. Because they're going to agree that the Hazar itself brings enough of a kapara, accomplishes enough that the carbon should no longer be subject to Mi'ila. Only for Pigel and Noiser V'Tameh, where the halach is that those rules don't apply, as we explained when the Mishnah, when we learned the Mishnah, until the Basa may be eaten. And since the Basa, according to this opinion, may not be eaten until after the Mitzui, that's why Pigel Nois V'Tameh, according to this opinion, would not apply until after the Mitzui, but has nothing to do with Mila. And in fact, this part of Reb Chaim can be used to answer a question. For if the halacha were indeed that until the Mitzui took place, the carbon is still subject to Mila, so we just finished learning the Gemara where the Gemara asked the question. Where the Gemara asked that after the Hazar, from our Mishnah it seems, there is no Mi'ila, but there's still an Isser. Why don't we say that the Mishnah is teaching us that there's still Mi'ila until after the Mitzui? And our Mishnah is teaching us that Mitzui must be done in order for the carbon no longer to be subject to Mi'ila. The reason, explained the Mefarshim, the Gemara did not offer such a teretz is because the Mishnah knows that even according to the opinion, the Mitzri Hadam Ma'akiv, that can't have anything to do with Mi'ila. Everybody will agree that even though the Mitzri could be so important, Mi'ila is no longer there after the Hazar's Hadam. There's also an interesting question posed by the Achroinim. According to the opinion that we're learning now, that the Mitzri Hadam is Ma'akiv, doesn't mean that the Mitzri and the Hazar are considered one Avoida. It goes back to a sugya that we learned in Masechta Zvachim about a Chatzi Matir. Is Hazar and Mitzri considered one Avoida, or they considered two distinct Avoidas? Says the Gemara, Toshima, it says in the Pasuk, V'nosh b'dom yimotza yisoyl ha-mizbeh chatzisi. Bishlo v'rabada b'havo hanid iksiv, V'nosh b'dom yimotza. The Torah is teaching us the din of a Mitzri, and the Torah is teaching us Chatasi, that until the Mitzui has been done, you haven't finished bringing Karma Chatas. However, ask the Gemara, El Rav Huna, but according to Rav Huna, that the Mitzui is not essential, my Vanisher, how do we understand the word Vanisher, how do we understand this Pasuk? Answers the Gemara, to the Danya Verishmal. We're going to understand the Pasuk as Rav Shmal explained it. The Pasuk is teaching us, She'im Nishar, that if there's blood left over, the right thing to do with that blood is to do Mitzui. But not that the Mitzui is absolutely essential. The Pasuk uses the words Chatas Hu. It's going on the Reisha. It's going back to the beginning of the Pasuk. And saying that the Hazar Sadam, which is referred to at the beginning of the Pasuk, that is absolutely essential. The other Mandama says that Chatas goes on the second part, on the word Chatas goes on the second part on the Mitzri. Says the Gemara, Omalei Rav Acha Berei, the Ravel Rav Ashi, El Me'ata, If that's how it's saying, that when the Torah used the word Va'anishar, it means if you have it, that's what you should do. But not that the Torah means that it's absolutely essential. And as the Rishonim help us understand the Gemara. What is the process of a Karim Mincha? The Karim Mincha is that we take all the ingredients that the Torah requires in a Karim Mincha, and we put them in a Kli Sharis. And after they're put into Kli Sharis, there we do Kmitza. So certainly everybody understands that if, when the Kmitza is done, we did not have all of the ingredients in the Kli Sharis, that is a disqualified Karim Mincha. The discussion we're going to have now is that the Kmitza was done, and now we have the rest of the Karim Mincha. The rest of that Karim Mincha is called Shiorei HaMincha, where normally by most Karim Minchas, and we'll discuss this more further in our parak, that those Shiorei HaMincha are written by the Kahanim. The halacha is, if any of those Shiorei HaMincha are missing, even after the Kmitza, the Karim Mincha becomes possibly becomes disqualified. But ask the Gemara. That there too the Torah says Vayneseres. So should we learn Hachinami that the halacha is Sheim Litaiser, that if there's Shiari Mincha left over, then they're eaten by the Kahanim. And if not, the carbon is still kosher. V'chi Taimen, if you want to say, says the Gemara Hachinami, that is indeed the din, for Tanya, that doesn't the Brisa teach us in explaining the Pasuk, Misalta Mishamna Akol of Anasai, Prat Shechasur Salta, V'chasur Shamna, V'chasur Vanta. If any part of the carbon mincha is missing, the carbon mincha becomes, if any part of the Shiar Mincha missing, the carbon becomes Pasul. So how can we, so why? Why don't we explain the word V'Hanisheris just like we explain, just like Rabbi Shmuel explained the word V'Hanisher? Answers the Gemara, Amri V'Hanisheris Kroy, Hasim Ksiv V'Hanisheris Kroy Yisair Ksiv. Machlokes Rishonim, how to understand what the Gemara means. Rashi explains that the Torah says this pasuk of Ahenaseris twice, and we know, as when we learned Masech Tzvachim many times, the Gemara taught us Shana Lo Vakosav La'akiv, that if the Torah says the din twice, what the Torah is trying to say by saying it twice is that that din becomes essential. So since here we have such a pasuk mentioned twice, that's why La'akiv here it's essential. Taisus has a different pshat. Taisus says that the entire word v'hanaseris is a superfluous word. The Torah could have just said the word v'amincha. Why did the Torah say v'hanaseris, which the Torah need not have said? Come teach us this then, that there, the halacha is that if any of the shiari ha'mincha are missing, the halacha is that carbon becomes disqualified as a kosher carbon mincha.